be able to gather again in the house of the Lord. My heart's certainly been ministered to today, and I thank the Lord for you and for my time and my wife's time that we've been here. Thank you for what you do for us. I appreciate it so much. Nice place to stay, and whoever it is that takes care of those prophets' rooms, I want to commend you. I've stayed in places that I wouldn't want a dog to stay in, and left with more than the dogs have, I can assure you. But thank you so much. The Lord will honor that, and I appreciate it. And you pray for us. We'll travel home tonight after the service, and then we have a very, very busy schedule. Matter of fact, I think it's every week until the week of Thanksgiving. And so you pray for us that the Lord would strengthen us and help us, and His will would be done in our lives. I sure love you, and I appreciate you so much. Thank you, Brother Ken. I want us to open our Bibles tonight to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Paul was undoubtedly a Baptist because he begins with the word finally, and he's only half done. That's just chapter 3. And he seems like he's getting ready to close out, but he's not. So don't fuss at us when we say that. But notice, if you will, and I want to begin reading in verse number 4. Paul said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. In other words, what Paul's saying, if anybody could get it done intellectually, or if anybody could get it done with abilities, he said, I could do it. And then he gives us his credentials. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul said you couldn't point a finger at me and found anything wrong. But, he says in verse 7, what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now that phrase, that I may win Christ, may throw some. Some may give the wrong interpretation. What he's saying here is that I may win the approval of Christ. That I may win Him and His approval. Boy, that's my desire. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And verse number 10 is the climax of why that he has discarded everything that he has obtained in his ability. He said he counted it as nothing that I may know him. Paul has been saved 32 years here when he makes this statement, that I may know him. It's not that he may know him in salvation, but that I may become more acquainted with Him. And the only way you can do that is to spend time with an individual. He said that I may know him. And then he wants to know him in two areas. Notice. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Two spectrums. The power of his resurrection. Everybody wants to know him there. But the fellowship of his suffering. Nobody cares too much about getting to know him there. But let me say that if you don't get to know him in the fellowship of his suffering on this side of the grave, you'll never get acquainted with him in that. Because there's not going to be any suffering on the other side of the grave. And if you get to know him in the fellowship of his suffering, it'll have to be on this side of the grave. If not, throughout eternity, there'll be a part of him that you never got acquainted with. How about that? Paul said, I want to get to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. I want to preach tonight from verse number 10, where Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to preach on living the resurrected life. Let's ask God to help us. Father, thank you for the privilege of gathering again tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing by the youth choir. Thank you for grace and goodness, Lord, that's extended to us. Thank you for the privilege of being in your family. Thank you for the privilege of being, Lord, in your field. And then for the privilege of being among this fellowship. I pray, God, that your blessings on this church. I pray you would continue to keep your hand extended this way. Lord, I personally believe that the hand that's extended to others, your hand will be extended to them. God, I pray now that your will would be done. Allow us to be as brief as possible. And then for whatever is accomplished, you will get glory for it. Deal in the hearts of the unsaved and bring them to the acknowledgement of yourself by the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. And that you're soon coming for us. May your will be done. In Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Paul said that I may know him. That I may become more acquainted with him. First, he said, in the power of his resurrection. And then in the fellowship of his suffering. Let me say to you, and I'll just be honest as a know-how, there are some texts in the Bible, some scripture that it's hard for me to get my mind wrapped around. I read them, ask God for insight and for direction, study other commentators, and find that they're having the same problem I am. And do not clarify anything. As I'm studying this portion of Scripture, I personally believe it's very important for us to get to know the Lord Jesus in a more definite way. I think if we're going to be able to continue until He comes in the right way, we better get to know Him in a good way. I was thinking about this text. I was asking the Lord for some kind of help. As I was in prayer over this, seemed like the Holy Spirit ran my heart back to a little town called Bethany. And in that little town called Bethany, there's a little family that lives there that loves the Lord.
we find that there's three in that family that's mentioned. We find that there's Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. We find Martha, Mary, and Lazarus know the Lord. They love the Lord. But yet, Lazarus dies. And then, they get to know him after Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. So therefore, they become acquainted with the Lord, knowing then the power of His resurrection. Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Aren't you glad we have a Savior that's able to bring the dead to life? Aren't you glad that He is able to resurrect some things in me and you? Aren't you glad that we have a God that just doesn't leave things lying dormant, but whenever we cry unto Him, He begins to move some things in our soul? Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you glad for a God that when you get down and out, He never is? And then whenever you cry unto Him, somewhere you get to know Him in the power of His resurrection. And boy, if we can ever get acquainted with Him in that respect, it'll sure make a difference in our life here. I want to look at this tonight, God being my helper. And I want to look at Martha, Mary, and Lazarus briefly, each one of them. And we're going to see each one of them as they knew the Lord and their labor for Him. And then after that Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, we see all three of them again. And boy, they sure are different, having got to know the Lord in the power of His resurrection. Oh, how we need to look at this. Go with me, if you will, please, to the book of Luke chapter 10. Of course, I could read in John chapter 11. About how the Lord raised Lazarus from the dead. And of course we'll look at that in a moment. But I'm very interested tonight, first of all, in examining Martha and how Sister Martha knows the Lord, but then how that it affects her after she knows Him in the power of His resurrection. And I believe that what it did for her, it will do for you and I. Let me say to you that as we examine Martha, we're going to see that knowing Him in the power of His resurrection will affect our labor. Do you not agree that you and I need our labor for Him affected? Amen. We need our labor touched, that we could do it with more fervency, with a greater burden, with a greater zeal, with a greater determination to get stuff done for the glory of God. But until we get to know it in the power of His resurrection, it'll probably never happen to us. And the only way you can get to know Him more is to spend more time with Him. That's the basis of the whole thing. To get to know someone, you've got to just become more acquainted with them. Now, notice with me in Luke 10, verse number 38 beginning. We find Martha comes on the scene now. And we're going to look at Martha as she just knows Him in life. Look, if you will, in verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, talking about Jesus and His disciples, that He entered into a certain village. I personally believe that as Jesus entered into the little city of Bethany, that the disciples probably went on to Jerusalem. So I personally think that Jesus is here in this house alone. I believe he turned aside by himself, because it said, now it came to pass as they went, that he didn't say they entered into a certain village, but he entered into a certain village, and that's important. It said, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Boy, you know, it's a good thing when the Lord passes by, knocks on your door, that you let him in. Amen. I'm telling you, when Martha received him into her house, is a picture of you and I in our unsaved condition. When Jesus came looking for us, Martha wasn't looking for him, but Jesus came to Martha's house and knocked on her door. She opens the door and invites him in. You remember when that happened in your life? You remember in your dark, unsaved condition, Jesus came by and saved you by his grace. Isn't it wonderful to be saved? Wonderful to be saved. So we see that Martha has received him into her house. Get the picture now? Jesus is at home in Martha's house. He's there. He's not trying to break in. He just walked in. And he's at home at Martha's house. Is he at home in your house? Oh, praise the Lord. Now, so we see that he's there. He's took up his abode in her house. He has taken up his abode in our dwelling, in our soul. Aren't you glad he will never leave us nor forsake us? That's wonderful. So we see, Brother Kim, that he's there. But now notice, Bible said in verse number 39, and she had a sister. Now Martha's always got a sister. We're going to see that. Now if there's any Marthas here and Marys, I'm not picking on you. I'm just simply saying that spiritually speaking, Martha has always got a sister. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, notice here, Martha's attitude. She just knows him in life now, and she sure does need to get better acquainted with him. Notice in verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. Let me say here that she's first of all, now let me reiterate, that he is in her house. Picture of her being saved. He is there. He's took up his abode there. But her service, even though he's in her soul, her service stinks. Oh, Lord. Her attitude stinks. Amen. Oh, how we need to understand that our service is to bring honor and glory to his name. And we do for him only because of what he has done for us. And if we ever get that in the light of what he's done for us, it'll sure help us. Now, she's first cumbered in service. That means that what she's doing, I'm kind of on the same track I was this morning. I didn't realize that. But what she's doing, she's cumbered with it. Well, I don't know if I won't be able to do this or not. And that word cumbered is an unusual word. It has several words intact in it. Grumbling, murmuring, complaining, bickering. Find it. You look at that word cumbered. You will find that there's a whole list of negatives involved in it. That's the best word that the Holy Ghost could have used for Martha. She's just upset about everything. What she's really upset about is that she's doing everything. Mary ain't doing nothing. That will always cause a problem. I told you Martha's always got a sister. somebody that a complaining person can always point their finger at. Oh, Lord, help us now to please get on with this. Notice she's cumbered in service. Then the Bible said that she's not only cumbered in service, but she's complaining about her sister. It says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that, and boy, what a silly thing to ask the Lord. Doest thou not care? Does Jesus care? Oh yes, He cares. You'll find that asking a couple of other places. Those disciples on that ship said, Lord, carest not thou that we perish? Could I tell you, if He's on board your ship, you can't perish. Hallelujah. You'll never perish. I'm telling you, He does care. And she said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Oh boy. She's complaining about her sister. What she says, Lord, if you want anything to eat soon, you better get me some help in here. And there's nobody here but me and you and Mary, and I'm not going to ask you to come to the kitchen with me. And that's the real problem. She was in the kitchen by herself, left the Lord outside. If you want to bake biscuits real good, take the Lord to the kitchen with you. And she said, get Mary in here to help me. I can see it now. She comes to the door. I don't know how many rooms the house had, but I'm sure that Jesus and Mary wasn't in the kitchen, because I would not want to be in the kitchen with a mad Martha. And I see her. She comes to the door now. And she's got that apron on and she's rubbing flour off of her. And she's not only got it on her hands, she's got it in her hair. It's on her face. Her hair's all disleveled. Her blouse is all out. Because when you've got an attitude like Martha, you've made a mess out of the kitchen. You're slamming pots and pans. You're creating havoc. Y'all with me here now? And when you're complaining about somebody else that's not doing anything, and you're doing everything and not enjoying it, man, the kitchen's a mess. Lord, get her in here. She's complaining about her sister. Oh, she's serving. Here's the point. She's laboring, but she's not enthused about it. Matter of fact, she's aggravated with it. Is what you are doing for the Lord, has it become cumbersome and burdensome? Is it got you down? Then you got to get to know Him more. You got to spend more time with Him and find out how much He really loves you. Oh Lord, I see that she's cumbered in service. She's complaining about her sister. And she's also consumed in self-pity. She just, oh, I'm the only one around here that ever does anything. Oh, Lord. I think this is probably going to be the worst day of my life, Lord. I know you've come to the house and you're sitting in here, but boy, if you happen to come by, Lord, if you happen to come by, it made my day easier. None of us would ever put that in the vehicle of words, but sometimes that's exactly the way we think. Lord, if I wasn't involved in your work, I could be out doing my own thing. You need to get to know Him more. If you ever get a glimpse of Him hanging there and died, but He got up again. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it will make a difference, give us a different attitude in our soul. Now, let me point out something here. And I want you to see if you would agree with me. It doesn't really matter. I mean, you know, Look with me in Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Now, this is amazing. The Bible says, you remember in John 12, Jesus is there, Martha serving. We'll get to that in a moment in John 12. After Lazarus has been raised from the dead, Martha serving. So I take it that it's her house again. But notice, if you will, in Matthew 26, verse 6. Now, this is the same episode as John 12. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, look at it, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And that's the very happenings in John 12. But it's in Simon the leper's house. Look at, and then in Mark 14, verse number 3, the same episode. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper. Now you say, preacher, what are you driving at? Well, John 12 says that he was in the house and Mary comes and anoints him, you know, with that very costly ointment. We'll get to that in a moment. But the point that I'm making is that it seems to me in John 12, it's Martha's house. In Luke 10, it is Martha's house. But in Matthew and Mark, it's the house of Simon the leper. You say, what are you driving at, preacher? I personally believe Simon the leper and Martha, husband and wife. Now, if that be the case, I'm not dogmatically saying it is, but from reference in Scripture, it seems to be as though Simon the leper and Martha are husband and wife. Now, if Martha and Simon the leper is husband and wife, he's had to be extradited. He's had to be put outside the camp. In other words, Martha's had to carry the load by herself anyway. She's had to be the breadwinner. She's had to be the one that's carried the burden of taking care of the place. She's had to be the one, and here's what the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart about. Sometimes, when there's certain difficulties that come our way, and it seems like that it's going to happen, our service for the Lord, if we're not real careful, we will allow what's come our way to keep us from enjoying what God had previously given us to do. Can I tell you, if God had put an additional load on you, oh, don't get upset with God over that. I'm telling you, just go ahead, do the best you can, and go ahead and do what God's given you to do, and see if God don't honor you greater, abundantly more than He would if that problem had not come. She's consumed in self-pity. And now, she's even to the place that she's commanding the Savior. I mean the man that knows all things, she's telling him what to do. Tell Mary to come in here and help me. Oh my goodness. But you know what I see? I see that Jesus said to her in Luke 10, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. That word means worried to death. Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing. Oh my. You know, sometimes we're upset about many things, but there's only one thing that's really needful. And He said, Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You see, God didn't scold Mary for sitting at His feet. And He didn't scold Martha for serving. But I want to tell you, there comes a time to sit at His feet, and there comes a time to work and to serve. And my friend, until we first sit at His feet and get to know Him, our service won't amount to anything much. That's what He's driving at here. Now I want to point out something that he said. He said this about Mary. She's chosen the good part. Keep this in your mind. Which shall not be taken away from her. In other words, what Mary has gotten here at the feet of Jesus, somewhere is going to be tried. There's something that's going to try to take that away from her. But he said Mary has got it. And it will not be taken away from her. You know what I want in these last days? I want to sit at His feet and get something for my soul that when the days get darker, it won't be taken away from us. Amen. And then I can serve Him with joy when I've got something that can't be taken away from me. Amen. So we see Martha knew Him in life. But just notice in John 12, and I'll move right on to the next point. Notice in John 12, we find the Bible says in verse number 2, verse 1, then Jesus 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper, and Martha served. You know, Martha's serving now. And guess what? That's all it says about her. You know what she's learned? She's not complaining. She's not consumed. Why? Because she looks around the corner of the kitchen door. And there sits the power of resurrection. She looks around the kitchen door and there's the greatest, the darkest night she's ever been in at the death of her brother. There He sits at the table. And you know what? Being the Lord is able to do that. She's going to serve without complaining anything about it. Could I say to you, if we ever get to know Him like that, it sure will make a difference in our service. Luke 10. The best I can figure, there's three there, possibly four if Lazarus was there. And Martha's complaining. But in John 12, there's could be as many as from 32 to 40 in that room. And Martha's serving now, and she's not complaining one bit about it. Why? Because now she knows Him in the power of His resurrection. Are you listening to me? Number two, let's look at Mary for a moment. We've seen in Martha that it affects our labor knowing Him in the power of His resurrection. But as I look at Mary, knowing Him in the power of His resurrection affects our love. Did you know that He cannot love us any less or any more than He does right now? He can't love us any less or any more. But my love fluctuates. And I hate it when it does. But if I can ever get to know Him in the power of His resurrection, it'll pretty much stabilize my love for Him. Watch this. You see, Mary knew Him in life. She was there in Luke 10. If you'll study John chapter 11, I don't have time to deal with this. It's another message in itself. But in John chapter 11, Jesus has just got the word Lazarus is sick. Mary and Martha have sent for Him. And guess what? He don't go. Bible said in verse 6, He abode still. 2 days still in the same place where He was. It says twice that Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. But when Jesus heard, He didn't make plans to go immediately. That always gives the devil an opportunity to climb up on your shoulder and scream in your ear, well, He really doesn't care for you anyway. But then Jesus, after 2 days, He decides to go on to Bethany. You know what he was doing them 2 days? Waiting on Lazarus to die. He wasn't about to get there if Lazarus was sick. Because I'm sure Mary and Martha got medical attention for Lazarus. Maybe the woman with the issue of blood, those doctors she saw, maybe they saw Lazarus. And Jesus wasn't about to get there until Lazarus was dead. Because if he had got there and got him up off the sick bed, you know what everybody said? Boy, it's amazing that that medicine started working about the same time Jesus got here. And you know what they would have said? Boy, what a good doctor we got in Jerusalem. Or what a great druggist we got here in Bethany. And there would be no glory given to God. But the Lord delayed on purpose to make sure Lazarus was dead so that when he did get there and get him up out of the grave, they couldn't give no doctor and no druggist no glory. God was the one that was going to get all of the glory. That's why he waited. He will delay helping us until he knows he's going to get all the glory for it. You can put that down. Jesus goes. Martha gets up and comes to meet him in John 11, verse 20. She comes to meet him. But the Bible says in the last part of verse 20, but Mary sat still in the house. John 11, verse 20. See if you don't say that. But Mary sat still. Watch this. Jesus abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. That word still means he's unmoving toward their situation. He's still. So he didn't show up in time. So when Jesus does come, Martha comes out and sees him. But Mary sat still, unmoving in the house. You know why she's sitting in the house? She's angry with the Lord. He could have come. He could have got there, but he didn't. Now she's mad at Jesus. We would never tell anybody we was mad at him, but sometimes when he don't fix what we think he should, we get upset at the Lord. And you know what? If you'll study the context, verse number 30 of John 11 says, and Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. You know what? Jesus is going to get Lazarus up. But he's not taking another step till Mary gets right. And when Mary comes out and gets right with the Lord, he goes and gets Lazarus out of the tomb. I would not want to be a Miss Mary sitting in the house mad, keeping him from bringing the power of resurrection to our situations. Amen. Mary got right. Jesus goes and gets Lazarus up. Praise God. Now Mary knows him in the power of his resurrection. Look at verse 12. Chapter 11, she's angry with him. But she got over it. Woo! Look at it. Lazarus is at the table with Jesus. End of verse 2. Look at verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I can see Mary now. The Bible said it was a bottle of ointment, box of ointment. And she brings it. And the Bible said it's very costly. Some here say that it was worth 300 pence. That's a year's wages in that day. Here's something I wonder about. Listen very carefully. Jesus said, leave her alone. She's done this for my burial. It was burial ointment. Why didn't she use it on Lazarus? She loved Lazarus. She had it in her possession. Why didn't she use that burial ointment on the one she loved? Because she got something at his feet back there in Luke 10 that wouldn't be taken away from her. You know what I believe she got? Jesus was going to die, but he was going to get up. And she's waiting for the opportunity. Now, between that time, she gets angry with the Lord. But yet, she saved it. She saved the most expensive adoration and exposition of love to put on the Lord. Now watch this. Now she knows Him in the power of His resurrection and she's not ashamed. She gets down at His feet now. And she takes that ointment and she anoints His feet. The Bible said she wiped His feet with the hairs of her head. Okay? The Bible said that the fragrance of that ointment filled the house. In other words, everybody in the house knew that something was going on in there around the Lord. And the odor filled the house. Well, if the odor filled the house, where did most of the odor end up on? If she wiped His feet with her hair, if she wiped His feet with her hair, then if that was a precious fragrance that filled the house, guess where the most of it come back on? On her own head. You didn't have to get around Mary long to find out she loved Jesus. Why? Because she smells just like Him. You get around Jesus, and He smells of this fragrance. And you get around Mary, and she smells just like Him. I'm telling you, friend, once you get to know Him in the power of His resurrection, you become identified with Him, and you take on His fragrance because you love Him so. Woo, praise God, that helps me. I can see them now. Mary may have had to leave out and go down to Kroger's. And as she goes down, you know, I think it could get surreal. I think that God could get surreal around this place and is pretty real. But I think it could get surreal that folk love Him so much that as folks started down this highway, praise God, there'd be a difference about it. Amen. Hey, if we can get to know Him, really get acquainted with Him, there's something about our love that we're not ashamed of Him anymore. Is that not right? They say about this fragrance and this ointment that once you get it on you, you can't get it off. And this was 6 days before the Passover. 6 days before Jesus went to Calvary, I promise you the fragrance wasn't gone. When they're whipping Him at the pavement of Gabbatha, when they're beating Him beyond recognition as a human, there's still the fragrance on Him that somebody loves Him. Hallelujah. When He's carrying that cross at Calvary's hill, there's still that fragrance. Mary and Him still smell alike. Praise God. When they put Him on that cross and even the Father turned His back on Him, there's still that fragrance. Hallelujah. And when Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took Him down, when they took Him down, you know the first thing they come in contact with was His feet. Oh, Joseph said, Man, somebody sure loves Him. Amen. And hey, when they laid Him in that tomb, it didn't smell like no damp, musky, moldy tomb. Guess what? In that tomb was the smell that somebody loved Him. I'm trying to say to you, once you love Him, you and Him smell alike, and you're never ashamed of Him anymore. In all of His dark times, in all of that crucifixion, Him and Mary still smelled alike. I don't know if that helps you or not, but that just makes me want to jump up and down. Bless the Lord. I say bless the Lord. For Him. Boy, hey, you know what I'd love? You know what I'd love? You know, you get around certain folks and you can tell from the older what they've been involved in. You know, you can tell. You know what I'd just like to carry? When somebody got around me, you know what I'd like for it to be said? Boy, it just smells like the Lord. Somebody said, oh, that won't ever happen. Well, it may not, but I sure want it to. I'd like to be able to carry the fragrance without having to say a word that I belong to Him. And if you get to know Him in the power of His resurrection, it's available. Is that right? Let me close. Let me close with this. We've seen two individuals. The one that really knows Him in the power of resurrection is Lazarus. He's really the one that died. And he's really the one that knows. Mary and Martha's involved in it, but Lazarus really knows it. When we first, well, in Luke 10, Mary and Martha's mentioned, but Lazarus is not. All through the Scripture, we have an unseen Lazarus. He knows the Lord. Listen, he knows the Lord, but he's never where the Lord is. Oh, my. He's not mentioned. He's not mentioned anywhere. We have the unseen Lazarus. But then when we are introduced to him, the first time we find his name is in John 11, 1. Or John 11, 2. Yeah. It was Lazarus that was sick. The first time we're introduced to him, he's the unhealthy Lazarus. He was the unseen Lazarus, and then when we do see him, he's the unhealthy Lazarus. You know why he's unhealthy? He ain't been hanging around the Lord. And he's unhealthy. He's sick, and he's dying. Now listen carefully. You know what Lazarus needed to do more than anything? Was what he done. Die. See, the Lord wasn't going to come to him as long as he's sick and unhealthy. But as soon as he died, the Lord moved in his direction. Somebody said, preacher, you're saying we need to die? Yeah. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I die daily. Romans 6 said we were crucified with Christ. We need to die to ourselves. You know why I'm not getting any more done for the cause of Christ? Too much of me involved. If I can get rid of more of me, then more of Him can be workable. Oh, that's so true. And when Lazarus died, Jesus headed in his direction. Ain't that wonderful? Somebody said, preacher, how do I know that I'm really dead? The place I need to be. How do I know that I'm where I need to be in this thing of being dead to myself? Well, let's look at Lazarus. There he lays. Lazarus, I don't like you. He don't care. He's dead. Man, Lazarus, you're doing a sorry job at everything you ever done. He don't mind you talking. He don't mind. He's dead. Is that not right? Boy, Lazarus, you're doing a great job. Don't affect him no more than tell him he can't do nothing. He's dead. You tell him all of his negatives and you tell him all of his positives. You give him all of his bad points and tell him all of his good points. And he stays the same. He's dead. You spit in his face. He won't spit back. He's dead. In other words, it does not matter who says what. He's not hearing them. There's only one voice he can tune to. There's only one voice that gets his attention. Oh, Lord. He's not in tune with nothing but Him. And when Jesus said, you could say all you wanted to say about Him, He wouldn't respond. But when Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth up from the grave, he come. I'm telling you, you say, well, how do I? Hey, when you get to where it doesn't matter what others say, hey, I want folk to appreciate and to really like me. I want that. I don't like it when folk don't, but can I tell you, I found this out, when you're trying to do your best for the Lord, you can't hardly ever please anybody. But if there is one, hallelujah, that'll say, well done, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. If we can ever quit being governed by what everybody thinks about us, it'll make a difference in your life. And he can only hear one thing. And that's the voice of the Lord. Lazarus got up. Now Lazarus knows him in the power of his resurrection. Let me close. No amens, please. Hey, if you had to deal with what I had to deal with through the year, you would just enjoy me the little time I'm here. If I did preach to midnight, you'd say, boy, he's getting some help. And I am. Thank God. Notice we find Lazarus now, knowing him in the power of his resurrection, for the first time he's at the table with him. There it is in verse number 2. Lazarus is one that was at the table. Oh my! Then we find, for the first time, knowing him in the power of his resurrection, there's a test for him. Not only is there a table for him, but there's a test for him. What's the test? Verse number 10. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Can I say that's the dumbest thing in the Bible I've ever seen? That's the way the religious world is. They're wanting to put Lazarus to death and he's already died. And the Lord got him up. You can't put a man to death that the Lord won't leave dead. When a man dies on his own, the crowd can't kill him. Amen. If you are purposed to die to him on your own, the crowd cannot kill you. Hallelujah. They can't. If they got together and said, we need to find some way to kill this man. What are you going to do with a man that won't stay dead? Hey, I'm telling you, there is a great peace in your heart in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of his resurrection. Then look at this, and I'm close. I'm done. We see the table for him, the test for him. Then I see his testimony. Verse 9 said, but much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. They came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus, also whom he had raised from the dead. Verse 11 said, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. Nobody ever come to see Lazarus before. Nobody never even cared what Lazarus had to say till he knew the Lord in the power of his resurrection. Then everybody wanted to know what he had to say. Somebody said, boy, I can't get through to those folk. Get to know the Lord in the power of his resurrection, and they'll be wanting to know what you've got to say. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Let's don't let anything distract our attention for just a moment, please. For just a moment, please listen carefully. The Lord, Paul said, that I may know him. That I may know him. Is anybody in here tonight interested in getting to know him more? And getting better acquainted with the Lord? It's available. And it'll make a difference in your labor, in your love, and I forgot to tell you, in your loyalty. Lazarus at the table now. It'll make a difference in our loyalty getting to know him in the power of his resurrection.
Let's stand. Father, thank you for your goodness.